Blog Talk Radio.
The consummate fitness professional. It wasn't too long ago, an experience that was just life-changing for me. Been a personal trainer for, a few years. A client came up to me prior to her session. As we always would, once per week, we'd weigh her in. She had a big smile on her face, a skip in her step, and she knew something more than what I did. I knew she was diligent. She stayed on track. She was the perfect client. She just never wavering. Everything that I would say, she would stick to. And we sat down after her weigh-in, and she was successful. She actually had exceeded her goal, which was to lose 30 pounds. Memory eludes me as to whether it was, a couple of months, maybe it was 2 to 3 months. But it was pretty stellar. 30 pounds is nothing to sneeze at. It takes a lot of diligent work, proper eating, plenty of motivation and inspiration. Most definitely a purpose. As we sat down, we smiled, and I jotted into her notes. And congratulations, and she reaches into her bag and hands a big square box. I open it up, and it was an etched glass trophy that said, "World's Greatest Trainer, Dale Sweet Lou Roberts." My eyes kind of welled up, a little bit with tears. Boy, I couldn't hide it. Before long, they just started streaming down the side of my face. I said, "Let's get up. Let's get into our session." The reason it hit me so deeply was because it was so much for her to spend her hard-earned money and her time come in and achieve her goals on her own. And that was reward enough for me. But for her to recognize me as being the world's greatest trainer, I was flabbergasted. It's a trophy that I stick to and keep around on my desk to this day. Got to thank Chris for that. She's a wonderful woman and a great client. And she actually achieved quite a few other big goals in our time together. She was one of, say, hundreds of people that I had worked with in a personally owned chain gym called Lifestyle Family Fitness, now defunct. And I got to say, I made quite a substantial living working as a personal trainer for this organization. So much so that I was able to walk away after 4.5 years of working with that company and actually strike that out on my own as an independent personal trainer. Some of my diehard clients actually quit the gym and followed me. They absolutely were the raving fans that anybody in any walk of life would want. And this is what I hope to impart with you when I discuss some of these things over the next 4 to 5 episodes. I want to talk to you about what has been successful for me, what has been unsuccessful for me, what I've learned along the way, and what others have learned as well. What are some of the keys to becoming a consummate fitness professional? What can make you a well-rounded personal trainer? Of course, what path should you choose? And of course, credibility means everything in any career. Because otherwise, without credibility, you won't have an audience that's even interested in seeing you or paying for your services. How do you build a clientele? So important that you actually have to have people that you work with. Because otherwise, it's not just a career. Just a hobby. Quite frankly, I want to get you from being a hobbyist into a business builder, someone that can actually make a living and make a difference in the world today. I want to discuss what measures are needed to maintain and grow your business. Sure, maybe you can get a few clients, but can you keep them? I want to discuss a few things. What can make that happen? How can you retain great clients? How can you get referrals from those great clients? And, of course, bringing in additional leads. I don't want to turn you into a salesperson. It's the last thing on my mind. I've never been a salesperson, and I don't expect you to be one as well. But it is important to know you're going to have to inadvertently sell yourself at some point or another. Personal trainers are few and far between, and I hope that by the time we're done talking, you can become just that. And also, what are some do's and don'ts to personal training? What are some faux pas that are commonly used in the personal training business, and how can you avoid those pitfalls? I've had my fair share of stupid mistakes, so I hope I can shed some light on that. And I've seen my fair share of people and personal trainers that have had made some serious mistakes. They've lost some great clients. They've also put a black eye on the business from how they carry themselves. There's so much that I want to be able to cover, then I'm going to break this up into separate sections. But for now, why don't we talk about personal training and the personal training career? When you choose your path, I want you to weigh in on a few things. So you want to be a personal trainer, and congratulations on choosing this field. It is rewarding because one of the favorite things that I have, building lasting relationships. Owning lasting relationships is friends, people eventually that you can call family, and some memories and experiences that you'll be able to share with many people for the rest of your life. You also get to develop and nurture hope with people. Because in personal training, they're not necessarily just buying your services. They're buying hope. Because they hope to achieve something greater with you than if they weren't to do without. Hope is so important. And this is where you're going to play an important part as a personal trainer. And I hope that I can be able to show you the best way to gain hope through your clientele. The other way it's rewarding is you help people realize their definitions of success. The key word is their definition. Your idea of success is going to be completely different from what your client's view of success is. So you're going to definitely want to figure out what their idea of success is. What are their goals? Before becoming a fitness professional, there's a few things that you have to consider. Prior to even figuring out where you're going to get your education, what kind of certifications, or what kind of insurance you're going to get, you need to think about, is your ideal audience? I originally came into personal training in 2006. Fresh out of the healthcare industry, I was an activities director at the time. I wanted to inspire people to become healthier and happier. I found a lot of personal success in my own life. I, at one point, weighed 155 pounds, had a beer belly, and was far from healthy. But I became inspired. The fitness bug bit me, and I just was not going to let up. Within a couple of years, I ate right, I exercised diligently, And I was actually able to shed a lot of that body fat off. And I grew to a lean 185 pounds. So my thought was, going into personal training, I wanted to do the same thing for those other people out there that were tall, awkward, skinny, and possibly had a beer belly. My audience, in my mind, was those guys that were the hard gainers. But what really happened was completely different from what I thought was going to happen. I started in a small personal owned lifestyle family fitness gym as a club cleaner. I would absolutely clean everything from top to bottom, inside out, because I wanted to be the best cleaner that I could be. And I wanted people to take notice that I was going to be an even better trainer. Within a few days, the head of personal training in the region approached me and said, "We're going to get you to school." Right away, they started enrolling me to continuing education courses. Before long, I got my certification with the American Council on Exercise, became personal training certified, and I was good to go. And my first clients, oh, I tell you, I was excited. I had the butterflies in my stomach. But here is the real problem between what I thought I was going to do as a personal trainer and what I was actually going to do. It was a middle-aged couple. Two of them were pretty short. In fact, so short they couldn't fit on the exercise equipment in the gym. And also, their goals were not to put on muscle. Their goals were far from what I was expecting. They just wanted to get in shape. I never found out what get into shape was from them. I just looked at them and thought, well, they're going to want to lift exactly as I do. Wrong answer. Before that introductory session was over, that couple had made up their mind that they were going to just do it on their own. And I was crushed. Time after time after time, appointment after appointment after appointment, even as I started to become successful in the business, I never found that scrawny guy with the beer belly looking to put on an extra few pounds of muscle and burn off a little bit of body fat. My typical client in this specific gym was 40-something stay-at-home mom looking to lose a few pounds and tone up a little bit. They didn't want to get too muscled up. Found myself getting very frustrated, but I knew that in order to become a good, consummate fitness professional, that I had to modify what I was doing. I had to learn a different approach. How did I adjust? Quite easy. I studied. I went and I learned from other trainers that were more experienced than I. And any time the client asked me a question, I would say, "I'm not sure, but let me find out for you." What could have been a more ideal situation for my vision, looking back now, was if I had went to maybe an independently run gym, where specifically they had young fellas, tall, skinny, with a little bit of a pot belly, that were looking to bulk up. Possibly a bodybuilder's gym, but definitely not the family-run organization that I was looking for. I had literally set myself up to believe I was going into one fish tank to be the big fish there, when in fact I went into a larger pond and I was a smaller fish. So, who is your ideal audience? Who do you want to work with when you become a personal trainer? Think about the people that you want to work with. Visualize the types of clients you specifically feel you will be best suited for. Do you want to work with people that are obese and help them lose lots of weight? Be with them long term. Do you want to work with people that are looking to bulk up, get a bit of muscle on their frame, and feel better about themselves? Do you want to work with marathon runners or triathletes? Why do you want to be a personal trainer? This is a question you have to ask yourself before you really venture any further forward. The reason why I wanted a personal trainer was because I saw the value it had in my personal life. So I wanted to pay it forward. The feeling I got when I became in greater shape, when I dropped body fat percentage and I increased my muscle mass, it was great. And I wanted other people to feel the same. It took me a few years to get to that point, though. Between the time that I was scrawny with the pot belly to the time I became a personal trainer, it was quite a bit of a divide. And quite a bit of mistakes were made along the way. I wanted people to learn from my mistakes and become better, become healthier, not get injured or have any kind of setbacks or heartaches. I wanted to be the difference maker that I didn't have in my life prior to my personal training experience. So why do you want to be a personal trainer? There's a word to describe this and really tie it all together. What's your purpose? Your purpose is the reason why you do what you do. Think about it for a moment and ponder on just exactly what is your purpose of becoming a personal trainer. Because if you're just chasing the dollar sign, you think you're going to get millions upon millions of dollars, that you're going to become the next Bob Harper or Jillian Michaels, you are going to have a lot of setbacks and a lot of heartache. Don't chase it for the fame and fortune, because it's all the wrong reasons. Because when you have that one client that blames you, you're going to throw the towel in. If you have that one time that a client no-shows you, you're going to throw the towel in. With a solid reason or a purpose for doing your personal training career, no matter the adversity, you will overcome it. You will stare it straight in the face and say, I am better than this. And you will continue to push past all of those boundaries and issues that you'll run into. And I promise you, as a fitness professional, you will have adversity. So, purpose should not be money. It should not be fame. Because I'm going to tell you right now that money is not going to come at first. You're going to be eating ramen noodles for a little bit. You might have to have yourself a few baked potatoes, or some people call it loser's lunch, which is essentially a luncheon meat without the bread. Eventually, you'll be able to get yourself up to that point where you will be able to pay your bills, put a roof over your head, make a substantial amount of living that you can feel good about what you're doing and see the rewards. So I want to shatter any perception that you have that you're going to become a millionaire overnight. Because the reality is, I know many trainers out there that work upwards of 12 to 16 hours per day, 7 days straight, and they're barely making six figures a year. And these are great trainers. These are guys that are booked back to back. And fame, well, we'll get into that just a little bit later, the how you're going to start to develop a little bit of credibility. So when you become a personal trainer, who would be your ideal audience? Who would be your clientele? We discussed a little bit of that. The weight loss, muscle gain. Are they going to be young adults, children, middle-aged, office workers? Knowing who your audience is will play a large role in where you work. So, now that you've determined where you're going to work, you're going to have to do some due diligence and find out where that ideal audience is at. This is before any of your education. You need to get out there and start exploring. Look into chain gyms. Look into independently owned gyms. Look up personal training studios. And even get in touch with some mobile personal trainers that go from door to door doing their services. You know somebody that's an experienced personal trainer? Ask them what their ideal clientele is and who they are working with and the environment that they're doing it within. This will give you a better idea as to where to start in your personal training career. Next. You have to decide how to market and brand yourself. I know I said no sales, but you're always on. Everybody is always watching you. Whether you're on Facebook or Twitter or you're on the street or in a gym, people are watching you. So never take that for granted. When you market yourself, I want you to think about how you are going to look. Because you only get one chance to make that first impression. You've got to make sure it's good. When I worked for the chain gym, I used to have to wear a polo shirt, some nice pressed slacks, and some dress shoes, which, of course, I put insoles into the shoes to make it comfortable for my day. This made me look marketable, friendly. I was approachable. When I became an independent personal trainer, I changed the way I looked because I wanted it to be a bit more personal. People knew what my personality was like. They didn't see me wearing a polo T-shirt or slacks outside the gym. So I switched over to more comfortable clothing, such as T-shirt and some nice sweatpants and some cross-training shoes. I made sure all of it matched any time I was training. I made sure it was clean and presentable. So think about how you're going to market yourself and brand yourself. Branding meaning, who are you? How should people perceive you? The education you need to be the best is going to be one of the next steps that I'm going to discuss. But think about the education that will get you to provide the best service for your ideal clientele. Now, I've said this word quite a few times, success. In your ideal scenario, what will define your success in the field of personal training? How will you know that you have made it? One of the things that I thought about even before I went to personal training, I had already envisioned in my head what was going to be my personal success. My success was a few things. I wanted to have a binder full of testimonials. Before and after photos that I could be able to share with anybody was important to me, because that was me sharing in how I was able to help other people achieve their goals. My second thing that I thought of as being successful was a filled schedule. I wanted to be booked entirely full in an 8-hour day, 5 days per week. And I did that. And lastly, I wanted to exceed the income I made as an activities director in the healthcare industry. Because I've been an activities director for nearly 10 years, I'd made a substantial amount of money per year. I wanted to make sure that I could exceed that by going into personal training. Now, I know I'm kind of contradicting what I've said before, and it's not always about the money, but it was a milestone to me nonetheless. Something for me to shoot for, knowing that I didn't just want to fill my schedule with non-paying clients. I wanted to fill my schedule with motivated clients, bring me a good, substantial revenue. So what does your schedule look like? How busy will you be? What kind of income will you make when you're successful? What kind of goals do you have set for the next year, 5 years, 10 years? Is this the career that you'll retire from later in life? Or is this merely a stepping stone to something much bigger and better? Think about where you're going, because much like the goals that you're going to have your clients achieve, you need to make sure that you adhere to the same goal-setting principles for yourself in your business. I hope some of this information I've shared today has helped motivate you. I know that from time to time it can be very confusing and overwhelming. And over the next few episodes, I'm going to share with you the next steps you're going to want to do to become a consummate fitness professional.